So, I'm Karen. Somebody did think I was Erica the other week, but I am Karen, so for those that don't know me. I thought I'd start off this morning just by telling you a little short story. So, there was a young woman who loved to swim. She would go to her local pool two or three times a week, and because she went regularly, she saw the same lifeguards on duty each time she went. Now, sometimes after her swim, she'd stand shivering at the end of the pool and would chat with these two female lifeguards for quite a while. And she got to know a bit about them. This led to them sharing what was going on in their lives, and stories were swapped, and eventually they got to go out for a meal together. But as she found out about her new friends, she was able to get alongside them, help them practically, and share bits about her life and her story. This just happened a number of times over a few years. But as time went on, the swimming stopped and the lifeguards had left and moved on. Now, I'll come back to that story in a little while. So, this morning, we are starting a new series called The Call to Missional Discipleship, where we're going to be looking at different aspects of the call, such as different ways of doing mission with others. We're going to look at a prophetic word someone has around mission, how we can be missionally minded within our own families and our spiritual families. And we're going to have a visit from Steve and Tanya Bounds. I don't know if you remember those guys, but they visited our church some years ago. And they lead a church down in London, in Latimer Grove. And they're going to come back and share the journey they've been on and what's going on with them. So there's going to be lots of good things to come through this series over the next few weeks. But today, Erica and I wanted to focus on becoming a blessing, because that's something we believe we need to keep revisiting and be reminded of. I know I do. It's so easy, isn't it, to forget that as a disciple, part of that discipline is being missional. It's what Jesus demonstrated to us in the Bible, isn't it? And it's what he calls us to calls his church to be about and to do. So we hope that we can bring you guys some encouragement this morning. And we're going to hear from some of you. So we've got a few people that are going to come and share some testimony. And we're just going to hopefully encourage you and remind you that this is just something simple we can all do. It's not our responsibility, is it, to reach everyone? I know I get overwhelmed sometimes. I go, oh my goodness, there's so many people. I can't do all of this. But one of the freeing things for me, just recently even, that God showed me, was that it's not my job to save. That's for him to do, and for him and the Holy Spirit. He just wants me to be faithful. Show me who the one person I can be a friend with and who I can make a difference to, and all of us, the same for all of us, who we can make a difference to, and that we can all start somewhere. So I don't know if you remember, I think it was back in 2022, Erica and I introduced the Bless Habits to the church and to life groups, and many of the life groups looked at that in more detail back then. And Bless, we feel, those habits are just a simple way for us to start that journey of becoming friends with someone and to be intentional with them. Now, coming back to that story that I shared at the beginning about the young woman swimming, in case you haven't guessed, that was me. I'm sure some of you know, but that was me. And God reminded me just recently about that story and what had happened. And as I've reflected on it, I realised that was Bless. Now, I didn't know Bless was a thing back then. I had no idea. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because it was just me becoming friends with some people that I met while doing something that I loved to do. So let's have a look and remind ourselves of the bless habits. Hopefully this will work. There we go. So the first one, begin with prayer. And very simply, this is just taking the opportunity for us to ask God who it is he wants us to reach out to. We don't need to feel guilty or driven, do we, as I was. I was like, oh, I've got to reach everyone. No, we don't need to. Who does God, who does he put in front of me that I just need to become friends with? So praying and asking him. And as we do that, we'll grow and we'll hear his voice and we'll learn to hear him speaking to us and leading us and guiding us in our friendships. And then listen. So the next part. And as we spend time listening to people, it really helps us, doesn't it? Just get to know them. And the more time we spend with them, the more we get to know about them. And for me, with my lifeguard friends back in the day, as I spent time with them over those few years, I got to know quite a lot about them. I was able to get alongside, help, pray with them, because we built that friendship together. And then we can eat. I'm guessing all of us eat at least 2 or 3 times a day. So we can spend time with people eating over a meal. We can invite someone to do that with us. Or we could just have a coffee with them. We can go out for a drink with them. It doesn't need to be complicated. Even beans on toast is good, and even I can do that. I can have somebody around for beans on toast. So it's a simple thing I can do. And it's funny, one of the friends that I meet up with regularly at the moment, she won't come to my house, but she's quite happy for me to keep going and having coffee with her. That's okay, isn't it? Doesn't matter. But that's with my lifeguard friends, just looking back there, it was, they invited me to go out for a meal. I got to celebrate birthdays with them, all sorts of bits and pieces like that. And that was just about building up that friendship and then going out and having some food with them. It was a good thing to do. And we move on to the first S, where we can serve. And as we get to know someone, and we share our lives with them, and they then share their lives with us, you find out, don't you, what's going on. And that's a great, then, opportunity to get alongside them. And, you know, with my lifeguard friends, I realised that they were struggling, or one of them in particular was struggling, and I was able to offer lifts for various appointments to things. I was able to help move house for one of them and just get alongside them in that way. And people will want to serve us as well in returns. I know I've got other friends who will come and mow our lawn for us when we're on holiday. That's amazing, isn't it? That's really good. So it works both ways, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's great. And then the final S, if it works, yep, is story. So as we get to know people, we just share our story. Hopefully, Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And it's good to share that with people. That, you know, this is somebody who has made a real difference in our lives. And with my friends again, I got to a place where I was, they were struggling, there was things going on in their lives, and I was just able to say, well, look, I've been there. Some of the things you're dealing with, I've been dealing with too. But this is how God helped me in that situation. So I was able to share some of my story with them. And that's just talking about Jesus in a natural way that, yeah, hopefully people will then respond to. So that's story. And that is bless, very simply. It's not complicated, is it? I don't think it's complicated. It's not a system to be followed. We don't have to just go B-L-E. Different things happen at different times. But for me, and hopefully for you guys, it's just a helpful reminder of how we can simply be friends with people and love them the way Jesus did. So just to finish my story, It wasn't until a few years later, so I'd got to know those guys, and one of the girls in particular, a few years later, had remembered that I'd just started working here at the church for Beck, and she wrote a letter. And this letter arrived at the church addressed to myself. And she basically said in her letter that she had been to Spring Harvest, which is a Christian conference. She'd given her life to Christ, and she was now working as a youth worker in a local church. Isn't God good? It blew me away. So, and I was just part of that journey. God did that in her. But he just invited me to be part of that journey that he had that young lady on. And so my encouragement, and the encouragement that Erica and I want to leave with you this morning, is that all we need to do is what God asks us to do, what he puts and who he puts in front of us. Spend time with those potential friends, wherever you're at, whether it's work, whether you're doing something fun with them, spend time with them, and God will do the rest. And that's the real blessing, isn't it? That's the blessing. So, we're going to move on. Erica?
Thank you.
Do you need that?
Yes, please. Thank you. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, we've got... We're in three parts this morning. Karen's done one bit. Now what we want to do is another way of encouraging you is to share stories of what God is already doing through us and among us. Now, I have to say, we did ask quite a few people to come up and share encouragement this morning, and this weekend seems to be the weekend everybody's gone away. So we've actually only got two people coming up in person. What we'll try and do is we will try and summarise a few more of the stories, and we'll try and get those people to be able to share in person another way, another time. But to start with, before we call up the first person... can you please put your hand up if I gave you a jar, a grey jar, before the service? There should be four. One, two, three, four. Thank you. Great. Now, there are some grey pots which are just going to start being handed around in various sections. So at the front here, towards the back, this section here, and then over this side as well. So if you could start handing the pot around, just take a little look in the pot. Look at how many things are inside the pot. And then pass it on, and we will come back to that in a minute. Okay, thank you. Right, over to you, Karen.
Okay, so the first person who's going to come and share is Suzanne. Is that good? Should we use that? Should we use this one, Mike? Is that right? There we go. Do you want to take that? So I know, because I get to chat to lots of you through life groups and things like that, I know, Suzanne, that you've been on a bit of a journey of blessing some young people, together with Ian. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, and then what you've learned from it, and what you think God has been showing you?
Yeah. So, cool. September 2019, Ian and I started a youth club in Priors Marston, little village near us. And I was way out of my comfort zone because although I've been a teacher, I've always taught little ones. Never had anything to do with youth. Heck, this was really scary. But we started this this club in the church, in the parish church, and we got six children on a regular basis. We gave them Bibles. We would open the Bible every week. We had games, yes, but we also half the time was Bible study, and it was sharing, and it was talking about the story and so on. And anyway, we all know what happened in early 2020. So suddenly, we can't meet with our little youth club, and so I thought, okay, well that's that. And then a friend who keeps an eye on me every now and again, who's on the board of Urban Saints, rang me up and said, "So what are you doing, Suzanne?" I said, "Well, nothing, you know, that's it." She said, "Have you heard of Zoom?" And on that point, no, I had never heard of Zoom. She said, "You can do this." And I'm like, "No, no, I can't. Yes, You can do this. Get on Zoom, meet with your youth club. So we got on Zoom. We had six at first, three from the youth club and three younger siblings. Oh, okay, so now we've got quite a wide age range. How on earth do we play games on Zoom? But anyway, we carried on, got to the summer, and then there were two. So gradually, God had taken several away, I think, who just got fed up of the games, maybe. But anyway, we went on, and there were two. Brother and sister, Artie and Bibi. Dad, an atheist. Mum, definitely interested in Christianity. So we carried on. At their request, we went from fortnightly to weekly. All through the holidays, they didn't see any reason to have a summer holiday from meeting with the two of us on Zoom. We did all sorts of things. Long story short, 4 years on, we still meet with them every week. Artie is now 18. Bibi is 17. We've done Youth Alpha with them. We've gone all the way through the Book of Mark. And then we realised, why don't we ask them what they want to know? At first, when they were younger, it was always our input. But then we thought, well, they've had the basics now. What do they want to know? And they wanted to know about heaven. So we did 8 weeks on heaven. Wow. Had some great material. Fantastic book on heaven. And we did 8 weeks talking about heaven. Right now, we're doing the Pete Grieg prayer course with them. Looking back, let's see. Easter Sunday, 2023. Oh, I have to say, they moved. So they are now in Bournemouth. So we have a national youth club now. So the Lord took them down to Bournemouth. I got in touch with Youth for Christ in that area, asked them to recommend some churches. Whole family going to church, including Dad. Easter 2023, Bibi was baptized. We went down. Oh, and actually, what an amazing, amazing blessing that was when she shared her testimony and Dad turned round and looked at us and said, "That's you," when she talked about meeting this couple and how we talked them through and talked about Jesus with them. And Mum did Alpha a couple of months ago, and Artie and Bibi were absolutely delighted that Mum comes home and asks them questions that they can answer. And Bibi is sharing with her dad and recently told him he needs to come off the fence. So, yeah. So we're praying that Dad will be on that next. What has God shown us? God has shown us that he looks for two, you know. He went after one, didn't he? He went after one. And I think years ago we'd have thought even six wasn't enough to carry on a youth club with. But two, we've sown into their lives. They are valuable. They are precious. He loves them and he's doing amazing things in that whole family. Dad has suggested, what matter to me, Mum, that we now disciple the younger two. There's a family of four. There's two younger ones. But that might be a little tricky. But yeah.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? And I suppose that journey has ended up not at all where you thought it would end up at when you started, hasn't it? Incredible of what God's done. I'm going to ask Ryan to come up now. And is he outside still? think there is Ian, is it? Ah, there we go. He's heard us. There we go. I apologise to people at home watching this online at the moment, just because we're going to cut the feed for a few minutes, just because Ryan's talking about people in his life at the moment. We just want to be sensitive to that, and in case anybody's watching, he's not going to say anything shocking. Don't panic. But we're just going to cut the feed for a few minutes, and then we'll come back. So, hello, Ryan.
Hello.
So we're just going to briefly give you a couple more encouragements before we move on to the what you've had in the grey pots.
Okay. Yeah, so as Erica said, there's a few people away this weekend, but I'm just going to share a couple of stories about some of those folks who were happy that we shared this. So first couple, lovely life group leaders in our church, and they were looking to move house, so they prayed about where God wanted them to move to. Now, they had both felt that they'd got a bit of an affinity with a certain group of people, a certain ethnic group of people. Is that right? Yeah. And so they prayed about, right, where do you want us to move to, Lord? Bearing in mind that we feel we want to connect with this certain group of people. And they duly moved house, got to know all their new neighbours, who were all of this certain type of ethnicity. And they've began to get to know them. They've began to have meals with them, build friendships with them. So not only is what they felt God was saying to them about who they should mix with, that's been answered, but just in being faithful and praying about where God wanted them, he took them to that community and to meet with those people. It's great, isn't it? Really encouraging. And then another friend of ours who we work with, you'll probably know who she is, she goes regularly to get her nails done. It's definitely not me, but she goes regularly. She loves it. It's part of, you know, her enjoying getting her nails done. And she gets the same lady every time who does her nails. And she chats to these people so openly about life, about church, about her work, her family. She just chats, and she chats Jesus. She really does. And that's been going on for quite a while. She's been meeting with this lady. And it's led to questions being asked about faith. And so she's now on that journey, I guess, with her. Every time she's wondering what question's going to be put to her about God and what God, you know, thinks about all of these kind of things. But she's just doing something she loves and enjoys, and building relationship with that lady, and we'll see where that goes. So I think that's really encouraging as well. Something we can all do, isn't it?
Yep, great. And the last couple of stories I was going to share about someone in this church who's bringing up their children in the faith and discipling their children. And one of the things they wanted to do at home was to do Bible study together as a family and explore the faith together. So they decided to do that. And it was one of their children who said, well, why don't we ask Auntie so-and-so to join with us? Well, this auntie was hurt by church a number of years ago and wouldn't have anything to do with church or Christianity for a very long time. But the mum said to her child, well, you ask Auntie so-and-so then. It's your idea, you ask her. So they did. And Auntie so-and-so has joined with their family every week to look at the scriptures and to study the Bible together. And the time is right. The time is right. And they're doing it in their home together in a way that probably wouldn't have happened if she just said, would you come to church? But they're doing it together, which is incredible. And the last story is really a story of perseverance. There's somebody in our church who made friends with a family with a lot of issues. The dad is all over the place. The son has been disowned by his parents several times. He's very up and down. But this person in our church has become a second mum to him. And she's there with him every time something goes wrong, and it goes drastically wrong. And he ends up in hospital. He ends up in all sorts of bad places. And what the person in our church wanted to say was, she makes mistakes all the time. She loses her temper. when it's not just the first or second or third or fourth or even tenth time that he makes the same mistakes, takes one step forward, one step back, talks about faith one week, and the next week he's all over the place. But she makes mistakes. But the lesson is that if you love somebody and you persevere in loving someone, those mistakes get forgiven because they know that you love them. And the proof of the pudding is that every time he's in trouble, who does he turn to? It's her. And you know, he is on a journey of faith. And once he gets a few things perhaps sorted out in his life, he'll be able to really go on that journey seriously. But love is the answer. And Karen and I want to talk about ourselves. Ryan referred to the fact that the staff team, every Monday when we do devotions, we talk about bless and we share encouragements, we share frustrations, we share mistakes and opportunities missed. But we want to keep on this journey together as a staff team. I'll talk just to Karen, let Karen say something first.
Yeah, it was really, just really quickly, some of what I shared earlier. And I think what God's been talking to me about more recently is this whole idea of, I don't have to save people, that's up to him. And that's so freeing in just being me with people. So I think that's been one of my learning points. And it just lifts that pressure off us, doesn't it? Which is great. The other thing was, I think I had something else. Oh, yeah. We can be so busy, can't we? Life is busy, work can be busy, and God's really been, I think, speaking to me about taking space and taking time so that I have opportunities to meet with friends and to get alongside people and just spend time with people. So I think that's what he's really been showing me. So I've been intentionally doing that and stepping back so I've got time, and I bump into my neighbours, which is fantastic, and I get to have coffee with them and have conversations with them, which I love to do. So that's me. And for you?
For me, the encouragement to you is that I'm struggling. I'm struggling with it. I really am. I work for a church, so I work with Christians all day long. I have responsibilities outside of my job for church, which I take seriously and which take a lot of time. And actually, I'm really struggling to find ways to connect with people who aren't Christians. I made good progress, I think, during COVID with my neighbours. Why? Because I had the time. And I think one of the things God's speaking to me about is, how am I going to make time for that? And what might I need to let go in order to make time for people? Because God just wants us to be available. If we're not available... If we are available, things might happen, things might not happen. If we're not available, things definitely will not happen, will they? But my other encouragement to you is that actually I do know that people want to talk about this stuff. They do want to talk about faith. They do want to talk about their lives and what they're struggling with. And I know that because I'm a street pastor, and I've said that this before. When people are drunk, they will open up to you. When they see you in a street pastor's uniform, they will talk to you because they know you're Christians and they know that you'll understand what they're talking about. There are so many people who talk to us and they say, I couldn't talk to my friends about this, couldn't talk to my mates about this because they wouldn't get it, or they, you know, they'd just laugh. But they will talk to us because they know we understand. And how many people are out there, not drunk, wanting to talk about things they don't know who to talk to them about? They don't know who to ask these questions of. They don't know who to share, who they can trust sharing their life with, who will love them and care for them. And that's my encouragement, actually, that when I do figure this out a little bit better and make space for people, I am going to be praying that God shows me the people who've got the questions locked up inside them, who are on that journey, but haven't got anybody to talk to about it. And that's what I really pray. So... those are lots of encouragements. Thank you, Karen. Yes. I just want to ground this. I'll probably miss out a lot of what I plan to say because we're running short of time now. But I just want to sum it up by saying that God has a big plan for this world. God's plan for this world is nothing short of total redemption, and he wants to reach the whole world with the good news about Jesus. That is a big plan. and he asks us to be part of that plan. The encouragement for us is that God's big plan is only achieved one person at a time. That is the only way to do it. God will reach the world one person at a time. It's each one of us spending time with people, listening to them, getting to know them, serving them, sharing the good news, and then helping them to follow Jesus with their whole heart so that they go and do the same thing with others. And even if we do that with two people in our whole lifetime, it could make an incredible impact. There are all these encouragements that we've just heard about discipling the ones and twos, about praying faithfully for people, God putting us in the right place if we are really prepared to shine for him in that place, God giving us opportunities in the everyday things we do, like having our nails done. But there are other encouragements as well. I don't know if anybody's heard this old legend. Sometimes it's talked about as a Chinese legend, sometimes it's talked about as an Indian legend, which implies it's possibly not factual. But let's go with this legend of an Indian wise man who goes before the king and challenges him to a game of chess. I don't know if you've heard this. And the king says, okay, but what would you like as a reward if you manage to beat me? And the man says, this wise man, well, there's a chessboard here. It's got 64 squares on it. How about if I win, you give me one grain of rice on the first for this first square. On the second rice, you double it, and then you keep doubling it for every square. And the king says, fine, doesn't sound too much. Might be a bag of rice in it, but that doesn't seem too unreasonable. But actually, any mathematician will tell you that if you keep doubling things like that, you will end up with, I've got to read this out, 18 quintillion, 446 quadrillion, 744 trillion, 73 billion, 709,551,615 grains of rice. If each of us saw two people become disciples of Jesus, who then each go on to make two disciples, what an impact we could make on the world. It's amazing. It's a simple but really profound truth that everything big starts with something small. Does anybody know what river that is the source of? It comes from, there's a lake in the background, and then it's the beginning of a river. Anybody know what that one is? I'm not really imagining you will know the answer to this. It's actually the Mississippi River, which starts at Lake Itasca and then goes for 2,500 miles. And at its widest point, that river has to have a bridge 2 miles wide to actually cross it. It grows into a mighty river. Everything big grows from something small. And that's the way God has designed the kingdom of God to grow, from small beginnings and in ways that are often barely noticeable. Because God is patient and God works one person at a time. Right, the seeds that I passed round in the bowl, does anybody know what kind of seeds those are? Oh, yes, somebody's heard this illustration before. They are mustard seeds. I've got a jar of mustard seeds here. Now, Mark and I spent quite a lot of time ensuring that we put the same number of mustard seeds in each pot. Okay. Does anybody want to have a guess how many mustard seeds were in each pot? Take a guess. 30. Any grants on 30? 120. 100. Anybody think a lot less? 70? 20? Okay, the answer is 134. And that's a bizarre number, I just chose it so it wasn't a round number. But those are so tiny, you wouldn't think, somebody said 120, so it was really close, but you wouldn't think there were 134 seeds in that pot, would you? Because they're tiny, but the mustard seed Jesus uses as an example in one of the shortest parables ever, where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. And mustard trees, they are actually shrubs, but they grow so big, they grow to 20 feet, maybe even 30 feet, if they have the right growing conditions, all from that tiny seed. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like that. It started with Jesus, God becoming one man, taking 12 disciples on a journey of discipleship with him. Those 12 disciples became 120 praying in an upper room when the Holy Spirit came. A message was given and 3,000 people that day became Christians. Those 3,000 Jews at the end of the Pentecost season went home and became very small little groups of believers who then got persecuted and scattered throughout the world. And missionaries came and took the message, and they were killed and they were stoned and they were beaten and they were mocked. But that's become the kingdom of God today, and that has become you and me here in Rugby right now. God works yeast through the dough, which was the second little parable Jesus told in Matthew 13. He works his way through everything, unnoticeably, underground often, one by one. We are not to be discouraged. We are not to be discouraged. Sometimes we feel that we can't do it. We mess it up. We don't know the answers. We don't have the right words to say to people. And sometimes when you do talk to people, they don't want to know anything about it. They say we're ridiculous. They say we believe in something old-fashioned that's outdated. Somebody was telling me today, the other day, actually, that their daughter said, well, surely the Bible should be a bit updated. They're going to change it anytime soon. It's like, no. No, but that's what people think. They think it's irrelevant. Some of them even think it's evil. And we can start to doubt the message, and we can start to doubt the messenger ourselves. But the parable just before, the parable of the mustard seed, is the parable of the weeds. And in that the parable of the sower who sows seeds, and some of them grow, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them spring up and die. A lot of them don't grow at all. But Jesus in that parable doesn't criticize the sower or the seed. Those are not the problems. So we need to be encouraged to keep sowing seed. And the final biblical encouragement for today is, I was reading Zechariah 3 this morning, actually, but the next chapter, Zechariah 4, it's when the people of Israel, remember we've done Daniel recently, when the people of Israel were in exile. Well, when after 70 years they came back to Israel, the temple was in ruins, the beautiful temple of Solomon was in ruins. And they started building a new temple, and they laid the foundation stones. But the people who had known the Old Testament, the Old Temple, were in tears because the Temple of Solomon was beautiful and big. And this one seemed nothing in comparison to it. It seemed such a tiny thing, and they didn't even know if they were going to be able to complete it. The whole country was in ruins. And an angel of the Lord says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, who's got the plumb line in his hand and is setting to work on building the temple, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And a couple of verses later, he says, "Who dares despise the day of small things?" We're not big people. We're small people in the big scheme of things. And the things we do may seem really small, but actually, what the Bible tells us is that God's kingdom works through small things. His big plan works through us doing the small things day by day with individuals. A guy called Scott Hubbard, I was reading the other day, he was talking about this passage, and he said, "What will it mean for us to worship a God who works like this? It will mean praying for the big, longing for the big, and working for the big, all while faithfully and contentedly devoting ourselves to the small. Pray for revival and then prepare breakfast for the kids. Dream of the knowledge of God's glory flooding the earth and then bring a taste of that glory to the neighbor next door. Preach a grand vision to dozens of or hundreds on a Sunday and then sit and listen to the wounded on a Monday." This is what we want to encourage you with. God already knows who he wants to reach. It's not up to us to do any more than be faithful in knowing them, loving them, and sharing Jesus with them. That's the bit, as Christians, we often don't do because we're scared. But the encouragement for us this morning is that God's kingdom, his big plan, is fulfilled in one person getting alongside another person. I'd just like to finish by praying for us, because I think, you know, we often pray for revival. We want to pray for a move of God's Spirit in our town, in our nation, across the world, because the world needs it so badly. But I do feel one of the things God said to me when I was thinking about this was, actually, revival does need to start with me. It does need to start with you. It needs to start with every individual Christian to be set on fire for this big plan accomplished by small things. You know, we do, there's so much as Christians we can look at, and we love what we see. I look at, and whenever I stand up here, it's such a privilege, because I know everything that everybody here is doing so faithfully in their life, whether it's praying or serving or ministering to people's needs. It's amazing. But actually, where is that passion in us? Where is that passion in me to make space for people, to be willing to have my routine derailed by the person who comes along and asks me something or needs something? Where is that boldness in me to speak out because I'm convinced that every person I meet needs this message of good news? And that's where we need to start, isn't it? By surrendering ourselves. If we're available, God will do the rest. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement, the way that your kingdom works. Sometimes we see big demonstrations of your glory and outpourings of your Spirit, but most of the time in history, it's just been Christians faithfully witnessing to who you are. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and fall on us, that you'll fill us, that you will take us back to that first love we had when we became a Christian, that set us on fire, that said, actually, nothing else is more important. Nothing. Lord, I do pray that you'll forgive me for sometimes focusing on the things which are not important, for spending so much time on them, dedicating so much time and energy to the things which will not eventually move into eternity. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us that encouragement, that confidence, that boldness, and that passion to see the person in front of us, to be led by you, to join with you in your mission, one person at a time. In Jesus' name, amen.